Kevin Phillips, striker. Prolific scorer for Sunderland, Southampton, West Brom, Birmingham, Palace, Blackpool. The list goes on. 282 career goals, 8 England caps, winner of the European Golden Shoe in 99-2000, and of course, author. But let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
In 30 pages, he went from working in Dixon's to playing Ajax.
I heard those comforting words. Yeah, I rate Kevin Phillips and I'm definitely interested.
Jodie Craddock moves a bar stool. Hello and welcome to The Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another obscure footballer's autobiography. Less Mary Shelley, more Martin Kelly. I'm James Burke, and we'll be using this quarantine to read classics such as Per Mertesacker's Big Friendly German and Lee Trundle's More Than Just Tricks. But today we're going to be reading Kevin Phillips's Strikingly Different, and reading it with me from behind closed doors. I'm joined remotely by our book group of comedy writers, Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
And Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
Hey, how are we all doing?
Good.
Better now I've finished this.
Straight in already.
Right, Tash, before the recording, I said, do not be mean to Kevin Phillips.
I'm not being mean.
How do I kick someone off a cliff? I've never been this angry with someone so far away.
Yeah. I wouldn't be saying this if we were doing it in the room, don't worry.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the fact that you're so far away that you know you're not going to get
yes.
it.
Yes.
There'll be no repercussions. That sounds aggressive. Let's start again. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm good. There's no James this week.
No, very sad. He's not feeling very well, sadly.
Yeah. But for fine reasons, apparently.
Well, for the thing that your mind goes straight to at the moment, basically.
Yeah.
Leprosy. Yeah. He's got leprosy.
He's got smallpox. I mean, yeah.
Of all the times to get it.
I know, terrible.
Any memories okay. of? That's good to hear. Any memories of Kevin Phillips, guys?
I remember the season he talks about. Basically, that's all I remember of him.
You must. And at Palace, surely.
And,
right.
Oh, and at Palace, yeah. So there's obviously he scored the goal that put Palace up.
Yeah.
In the playoff final in 2013. So yeah. I suppose I remember that as well.
I suppose
I remember that too.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I realized something while I was reading this book is that I was obsessed. So after the World Cup in 98, I became like obsessed with all football.
Okay.
For like a season. So 98, 99, I know really well. And...
Wait, so now you're not?
Huh?
Just for one season.
But now I'm sort of more like the wizened old guy at the back of the pub being like, oh, back in my day, 98, 99, that was the magic time.
It's so good we can't go to pubs at the moment.
I know.
Or watch football.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two things. But I realised that because that was the season where they scored, you know, where Sunderland went up and mm-hmm. Kevin Phillips and Niall Quinn scored loads of goals. I remember, I realised that I watched like a lot of Sky Sports.
Yep.
There's a bit where he talks about a like documentary he did, which I'm almost positive I watched because I watched everything on Sky Sports in 1999.
Nice. Wow.
So
I tried to find that on YouTube and it does not exist anymore.
Well, it is basically just him going around a Dixon's warehouse being like, I didn't work here, but I worked somewhere like here. And then they go to a beach.
Gutted.
Dixon's does come up quite a lot in this book. But anyway, let's head over to our best friends at Amazon to see what the reviews are saying. Similar kind of warehouse facilities.
Sure, great segue.
I should have done the segue before I mentioned the next thing, as opposed to after I'd already connected it. The book has 5 stars on Amazon from 1 review, which is...
Mr. K. Phillips.
The review is very good from Amazon user. However, there are 2 further reviews. Yeah, that was generally the review. It's from Amazon user.
Amazon
and it's very
user.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
that sounds incredibly suspicious. Mm. That sounds like the type of thing where Kevin would have said to his agent, hey, what are the reviews looking like on Amazon? And his agent very quickly typed in.
Well, the Amazon users love it. however, there are 2 further reviews for the book's predecessor, and we'll get to why it's got a predecessor in a second, including this 3-star review from someone whose username is their email address. So I'm not going to say that. And the title is The Only Super Kev Effort That Fails to Hit the Target. Overall, it left me cold. Oof. I disagree, massively, but you know, we'll get into that. I'm sticking with Amazon user as the one I'm going
Amazon
with.
Amazon user. Very good. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm anonymous email.
Tash, very quickly, you're annoying me.
I'm sorry, but I didn't expect it to be like Don Quixote, but come on.
Okay, as the show goes on, we're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and we're going to get another chant from Ken Zong. Also, we'll be taking someone out of the Hall of Fame. Ooh. And whether you guys like it or not, and I have a new sad reading. But first, let's go around the group in a sentence or two. What did you think of the book? Jack?
I know what Tash thinks already. Don't need to go through.
I'm going to do Jack, then me, and that's it.
Mute channel 3. No, I mean, you might have to mute me as well, personally. No. Not because it's not great. It's just that it's so detailed about three or four years. And I think that after a while, that becomes quite hard to read.
But I guess that's the whole point of the book. Because, okay, so this book, let's do a bit of background on it. It comes the season after 1999-2000, I think, when he amazingly won the European Golden Shoe, which is incredible.
Which is amazing. It's a huge and incredible achievement.
And he'd written a book the year before, which was all about Sunderland going up, and it was about the years up to there. And this was just that was called Second Time Around. Weirdly, should be the second book, you think. But anyway, then he wrote Strikingly Different, which is basically Second Time Around, but with the other chapter added on top of it. I mean, if you went into it expecting him to be not being really detailed about those things, I guess he's got to be, right? He's got to write 200 pages about something.
I just feel like maybe he wrote it too early. That's exactly right.
But I'd hardly think he was going, I have to write. I bet he was probably asked by the club or something to do this.
But it's clearly been written in the off season, and it really feels like rushed in that sense, I suppose. It's just a lot of like match reports, and there are some really interesting, I mean, there are some bits that have a lot of insight, but I think the thing with a lot of these books is there's a real sense of like a narrative or a sense of like the complete story. And this is basically like if someone said, hey, let's do a film. The film has to be 2 hours long, but it can only be the start of a film. Okay. So we just have to really go into loads of detail about like if you were redoing Back to the Future, if you spent like 2 hours on the first 20 minutes before he goes into the past.
I'd watch it.
You would watch it, of course you would. Yeah, if Kevin Phillips was playing Michael J. Fox, I'd watch that. Sure.
The only bit of films I like is the beginning. The development stuff I hate.
I think as well, like for me, the whole thing is just, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then I did that. And it's all about football. And I know he's a footballer, and I know it's his memoir. But I wrote the page down. On page 63, he finally says his missus. She doesn't get a name. And then on page 137, he says, our first child was born. Julie did great. It's like that, you know, I think maybe Sean Gota spoiled me here. But
I'll be honest, Tash, this is still the second best book for mentioning their partner out of the ones that we've done.
which is crazy. Like, it's legitimately, it's crazy how few footballers talk about any women in their life.
It's not necessarily the woman aspect. It's just there was no context to his life. It was just, I did this and then I kicked that ball and then I did that. And
I guess it's a diary, isn't it? Effectively, this it's about the couple of years where he's had the most. Incredible couple of seasons, and I found it. To be honest, I enjoyed it. I had a thought it had it benefited in some ways. I thought from having a shorter focus as opposed to some of them. But he comes across as a really nice guy in it.
He doesn't
call out anyone.
I'll give him that. His physio. I did enjoy the bit where he calls out his physio, Jav Mughal.
Oh yeah, he got really into Jav Mughal. That was really funny. His physio at Watford, he's like, yeah, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Which is just like, okay, cool.
I guess.
I won't have any physio appointments with Jav Mughal, I suppose, in the future, if I'm in the Watford area.
He did come across very nicely, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
He did.
there's a lot of like narrativizing, if that makes sense, of like quite mundane things.
Sure.
So that sort of
it's a very deep analysis thing.
Yeah. I mean, I've really got into this.
Yeah,
just because it is so, and so there's quite, so what that means is effectively there's quite a lot of bits where he's like, just when we thought everything was going fine, we were, you know, everything went terribly, and it just turns out they like lost to, I don't know, like Port Vale.
Yeah,
and that
excuse me.
Oh yeah, I know, but he insults Port Vale quite well.
He
sorry,
does
Tash,
quite a lot. Quite a lot he does.
You say nothing happens. Going just through the index is a book with an index in it.
I love the index.
Some of the things included in there. Kevin Ball paintballing. That's a whole segment
that's a really
on the
great
Kevin
story.
There's for some reason a whole segment on Kevin Phillips in the index, and then
because he refers to himself in the third person the whole way through.
That is true. He does do that.
Do you think anyone's reading this, being like, I wonder if he mentions Kevin Phillips in this book?
Yeah, looks into it. And then there's a and then next to Phil Neville,
I
just
was just about
question
to
marks.
Say that. Have you seen that?
So weird. Doesn't say
wait,
the page
what,
number.
What is there against?
As opposed to the page number for Phil Neville, it's just got three question marks. Three question marks. He probably gave him a list of all the people who are mentioned. He was like, check which page they are. He was like, oh.
I don't care. What's going on?
I also really enjoy the career highlights section that's just before the index. Yeah.
Oh, which
so
is about
good.
Two pages of all the things he won, including
height, weight, school. It's like his CV. Great.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He doesn't get CV at the end.
Yeah.
That's, I guess he's finished football now, so if anyone wants to employ him,
yeah.
He's a Leicester too, if you're wondering.
It's not been updated in a while, but hey, it'll work. Also, another thing, as I mentioned, sadly, James isn't here, but he did send us through something that he got in his book, which I don't think is included in every single copy because I didn't get mine. He had a business card from someone who works at Coca-Cola, which had a British Airways employee, a female employee's email address written down in pen on it. What do we think of that?
Scandal.
In some ways, more exciting than the book.
Yeah.
I really want to know, like, how that got in there. It's, I mean, clearly the guy's having an affair with a BA employee, right? That's what we
and you think
assume.
They're going like, where will my wife not look? Oh, I know, my copy of Kevin Phillips' autobiography. Can we email that? We could email it. Well, no, we're not going to say what the email address is, but it's not the same person, same as the one on Amazon.
So, mine was signed, inside of my, not by Kevin Phillips.
But why is everyone doing so weird?
It was signed, so it was very water damaged when it came, right? And it's okay. Signed on the first page by Rose O'Carroll on the 18th of June, 2002. And then it's got the lyrics of Without Me by Eminem written. So I Googled it, and that was the date. That was number one in the charts that week.
Are we solving a mystery with these books?
I don't know.
Okay, so there's
it's
a
like
BA
escape
employee.
Room. It's like an escape room.
A BA employee has been killed by Eminem.
So, yeah.
Wow.
My one had nothing like that. I'm so upset.
Mine neither. It's a bit yellow. Man. It looks
mine's
like
a bit yellow.
And it's quite small. Like it looks like a copy of a school copy of Great Gatsby. It's very.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And it's just as good. So the book starts off with Kevin at Watford. Took a while to get his big break. Oh, sorry, it doesn't. That's true. You're right, Jack. I'm sorry. I'm reeling back.
How dare
it starts
you?
Off with him working at Dixon's.
No, it doesn't. It starts off with him working in the bread factory.
That's true. He says, one moment I'm rubbing shoulders with legends like Peter Shilton, the next I'm loading crusty loaves onto the back of a lorry.
Exactly.
What glamour. No, it's such a weird book because it starts with him at like 16 being told by Southampton that he's not going to play anymore for their team.
Yes.
Like being released, which sounds like a really good way to start a book, genuinely. But it sort of starts in a weird way because it's like... So there I am in Southampton, but I was being made to play at right back, not as a striker. And I'm like, "What? Wait, who are you? What's going on? Tell me where you were born. What's happening here?" I really felt like I was missing like a chapter.
That's
well, I
true.
Worked out that in 30 pages, he went from working in Dixon's to playing Ajax, which is impressive.
Playing, But that's what I found so odd about this
book.
That's
the kind of breakneck pace I love.
It's so frenetic. It's so hard to work out what's going on, and also what division he's playing at any one time.
Maybe I know too much about Kevin Phillips's life already. I don't know.
I had the I had his Wikipedia page up while I was reading it, and that really helped.
Just glancing side to side,
just checking what year this I was in.
Well, because that's the thing. As I really couldn't work out how old he was and is, and also because Kevin Phillips played on until he was what, like, I think about 50.
He was very old when he retired.
Yeah.
He was so old when he retired, but also, like, he's young here, but he's not that young. Like, how old was he when he got released by Southampton? 16?
Yeah.
And then he played for, 18, I think.
Yeah.
And then he played for Watford for 3 years?
Yeah.
And then, it's just hard to work out how old he is at any single point. It's a little bit like Sean Gota.
But to be honest, we found that in basically every book we've read so far. I don't think you can never tell.
If you're writing an autobiography, can footballers just, like, every single page start it with,
say,
I am,
by the way, I'm
18. Yes. I'm 18. Page 2, I am still 18. Page 3, nearly 19 now.
One person who I want to do an apology to for his previous treatment on the show, who comes across as a great guy when he manages him at Watford, Glenn Roeder. Tom the Farmer was correct the whole damn time.
Who'd have thought that?
A plot twist from the very first episode. Darren Huckabee slags him up.
It's finally come full circle.
Yeah, if we can solve the Coca-Cola M&M mystery as quickly as this, that'd be great. Glenn Roeder comes across, he's like his Yoda throughout the whole thing. He's very...
Glenn Yoda.
And this is a tale of redemption. He seems like a great guy. Especially when Kevin Phillips' dad passes away. He's really, really, really great in that segment. Yeah. He's really understanding and nice about it. And it's super. He comes across as a good guy who gives him a chance. And
he really does.
I think I always knew that in my heart.
Are you going against what Huck said?
You know what? I am, because now I've got two. I'm very easily swayed, basically, by the last person who told me whether someone's good or not. And the fact that Kevin Phillips and Tom the Farmer have vouched for him, I say he's coming out the Hall of Shame. I think he was in the Hall of Shame. I can't remember.
I think he is in the Hall of Shame. There's no way he wasn't. I think what this has taught me, personally, is that this is Glenn Roeder in, like, 94. I suppose, when he's still quite a young manager. He's still got esprit de vie. I don't know what I was going to say that. A spirit of life. He still wants to go out there and make things happen. And he's at Watford and he's, you know, like, telling Kevin Phillips to, you know, go off to Sunderland. If you make it there, you'll be a hero forever. And I think something must have happened over all those years that made him quite a bitter and twisted and paranoid man.
Stop! No! Hey! It was going so well until he said all that stuff. Christmas tree every year. He's a man.
But what I think that management could probably make you go a bit crazy. And I suppose from Huck's point of view, like, he saw Glenn Roeder at his very worst.
You're making some sweeping statements.
But I think that, I suppose what I mean is that it's not as if one has to be wrong and one has to be right. I think that they can both be right.
Incorrect. Moving on.
Okay. Fine. If you want to tell Darren Huckabee that we disagree with him, then...
Actually, no, I don't. Darren, you're always right. I'm sorry. Let's chat about his move to Sunderland. We mentioned it in passing just then. He goes to live in a hotel for a bit.
Yeah.
Jack, you texted me saying he's very much like Alan Partridge, and I've just realised how much more he's like Alan Partridge for that reason.
He is so much like Alan Partridge throughout
that
this whole book.
There's one line that really tickled me that I thought exactly the same thing, where he's Sunderland. I've always wanted to live by the sea. I was like, not in bloody Sunderland, though, have you, mate?
I've heard Sunderland's the nearest thing to Bermuda. Yeah.
Also, when he's in the hotel, he does say, there are only so many toasted sandwiches you can order on room service.
Yeah, and what do we think that number is? What do we think that number is?
I don't know. I'm sure he worked it out at a certain point. Yeah. But like he, so there's a bit also where he, when he first moves to Sunderland, where he drives to the Stadium of Light instead of Roker Park, where he's supposed to be going, and he sees the Stadium of Light in front of him, and he just shouts into his car to no one, "Jesus Christ, it's massive!" And there is no way I can't imagine Alan Partridge doing a similar thing. "Jesus, Lynn, look at it! Oh God, Lynn, it's huge!"
It was written by a guy called Luke Nicol, actually, this book. Yeah. Maybe Luke is his Lynn, and he was always in the car. The whole way. He's his long-suffering PA.
Just him coming up with, Sky television ideas.
Yeah, walking around a Dixon's warehouse.
He also gives a detailed insight into the coach company there. Did you like that bit? I really appreciated that bit.
I love that section where he basically just does an advert. Can we cue some advert music underneath?
Cue Mordell coach advert.
Those long journeys can really become monotonous. Mind you, I can't complain about the quality of our coach company, Mordell. Seats and tables at the front, microwave, fridge and couch at the back. It's all quite impressive. To pass the time, I usually watch videos down the front with Alan Johnston, while at the back, the cart school's in full operation. So Partridge.
Get yourself down to Mordell. It should be quite cool. Sounds like a tour bus without drugs and groupies, but yet he somehow makes it sound absolutely dry.
I agree.
Let's be honest.
No groupies are on a Mordell coach.
This is the thing: is that if I was on a coach and it had a microwave, I don't think I'd ever stop talking about it. But I realised that if someone told me they'd been on a coach with a microwave in it, I'd be like, "Yeah, I don't really care." But actually, being on a coach with a microwave in it,
like telling someone your own dream, like that sort of thing.
Definitely.
In terms of like Monday and things like that, there's one moment where he says, "Michael Gray gets sent off, and his punishment is he has to take everyone out for dinner." And he goes, "Oh, it was crazy. We were buying £15 bottle of wines to punish him." £15.
£15.
I know it's also 20 years ago and things are probably cheaper, but £15 wine doesn't sound like it was that expensive.
I can't imagine buying 50. Yeah.
As a Premier League footballer, I think you can afford it.
Yeah,
some of those bottles cost upwards of £17. Talking about his time at the hotel, I've got a dramatic reading very early this week. You want to hear it, guys?
Wow. Okay. Yes, please.
I know we struggled last time, but does someone want to cue the dramatic music?
Cue dramatic music!
Yes, that is it. By the way, this story is called Jodie Craddock Moves a Barstool. Remember Jodie Craddock?
I do remember Jodie Craddock. I remember his penchant for moving barstools.
On a personal level, he's living in a hotel at the time. On a personal level, I wasn't being helped by being holed up in my hotel room during this opening month of the campaign. I had nothing to occupy my mind except thinking about Sunderland and where things were going wrong. But there was the odd bright moment, like the time when Chris Byrne completely lost the plot in the hotel bar. I don't remember Chris Byrne, to be honest. But
this should definitely be part of the Sunderland documentary, right? Three of the players should live in a hotel together. Chris Byrne, Kevin Phillips, and Jodie Craddock.
Yeah, it's like the sweet life of Zach and Cody. like a Macam version.
Zach and Jodie.
Nice.
Thank you.
We had only just sat down one night to watch the football on the TV, and we were drinking coffee as we had a big game later in the week. Chris was flanked by me and Jodie Craddock, and we were sitting on these high stools of the bar. Later in the game, Chris had ordered another coffee, and just as he's
going
got
crazy.
Yeah, that's two coffees a night. Mad. Just as he's got up off his seat and pay his money, Jody's pulled his stool away without him noticing. Classic prank. Well, as Kevin says, he's gone to sit back with cup in hand, and he's gone crashing to the floor, which was some fall. We were in absolute stitches. I had tears in my eyes, but Chris didn't see the funny side at all. Here comes the drama. He went mad and squared up to two of us. Both of them. Where I come from, you just don't effing do things like that, he said in his strong man to you, Nathan. You need an effing good scene too. So there we go. If you're Manchester, never pull away a stall, whatever you do.
Apparently, it's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Where I come from, Manchester, this is totally unacceptable.
That's what they say as you go into Manchester. They say, come off the train, they're like, do not put any stalls away. It is hot coffee, in fairness to Chris Byrne.
Yeah, it's like a cold
Chris
beer or
burned.
Jesus. somehow we calmed him down, but it took some time, and at one stage he was ready to take the barman on as well. What's he done wrong? He never really could get the Mancunian out of him, and at one they tried, and at one time he went AWOL in Manchester and the Gap had to go find him. Why didn't you tell that story?
That story would have been much better. Peter Reed going on a trip around Manchester shouting at people saying, have you seen Chris Byrne? I've lost Chris Byrne.
All I've got is a Coca-Cola business card. It wasn't long before he was sold to Macclesfield, which is a great shame because the manager really rated him. He was a good player. That's the end. That's this week's dramatic reading.
Wow.
Not much Jody Craddock in it.
Well, he's sort of like Kaiser Soze. He's the one pulling all the strings.
The other thing I noticed in this book is him lamenting the fact he isn't a golfer more than a footballer. At one point, he even says, on page 78, I think just before he plays in the playoff final, if I could turn back time, I would have been a golfer, not a footballer.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's Kevin Phillips.
Kevin Phillips, who is he's a great player. He's an undeniably great football player. The fact
Very
that he
good.
Seems to be like bored with football quite a lot of the time.
There's that one bit where they're staying in some hotel with a really nice golf course and he's like, oh, I wish I bought my clubs and I didn't have to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Wish I wasn't a professional footballer. I hate it. Yeah.
Do you think he ever brought his clubs to a game, like at football? And was just like, guys, can we sack this off?
Yeah.
play golf instead?
There's a great bit which reminded me how footballers are basically just children. Where he's at England training, and he goes, we were given Monday afternoon off. We had the option of going shopping in London, playing golf, or a trip to the cinema. I opted for the latter. Which is just, it's like classic half-term treats. It's like, okay, you can do one of the three things.
Okay, and, it's like you've got the afternoon, okay? Yeah. You've got to be back at six, okay? Where's your buddy?
There's another time he's at a hotel and he goes, we're back in the old routine, crashing out on our beds on arrival, ordering cheese and onion toasties, and then having a quick nap before the evening meal. they're children.
You're right.
They're children.
They are big children. I mean, there's a bit where Luke Weaver, old Sunderland player, at a golf course, gets in a buggy and just drives into a lake.
That's true.
If you let children go onto a golf course and give them keys to a golf buggy,
and
that's
loads
exactly
of money.
And
loads
huge amounts
of money.
It's almost as though these footballers are irresponsible, I'm learning from these books. Yeah, where's that coming from?
To a comical level.
Has anyone got a no context Kevin Phillips for me this week?
Oh, I do, but it needs a little bit of context.
Well, that's literally the opposite of what we have to do.
I know, wait, hang on, I got one.
Okay, let's go Tash's first.
Okay.
We've got Millwall on Monday. Will Dixon's give you the day off? I quite
like
that one.
That's a great bet. I've got one. Hang on.
Okay.
In my eyes, Elton John is a legendary figure in pop music.
Yes, I'm so glad someone else noticed that line. And that everyone's eyes. Literally everyone's eyes.
Jerry Kevin Phillips just going around being like, hey, you know what? You know that Elton John? I reckon.
He's all right.
I reckon he's quite good at music, he is.
As we're all doing it, I'll do mine as well then. On page 189, I went back to my car to check my mobile phone and I could see I had about 7 messages on it, which is more than I usually get in a week.
Oh,
Kevin.
He has such an odd way of writing.
Yeah.
Like throughout the whole book, there's a bit where he's talking about when he first goes to Sunderland, or he's like about to get the move. He talks about how his agent has called Peter Reed using his hands-free phone, and he's worried about what Peter Reed thinks of him. But he says, "I heard those comforting words. Yeah, I rate Kevin Phillips, and I'm definitely interested." But just the idea of like those classic comforting words. My parents always used to say that to me whenever I was nervous before going to school. They would say, yeah, I rate Kevin Phillips and I'm definitely interested.
That's Peter Reed's chat up line on Tinder. That's the first thing. That's always that's always his first message. I rate you and I'm definitely interested. when Sunderland are on that great run of the Championship, and they somehow don't go up, sadly.
Yeah.
Maybe because he was focusing too much on golf at the time, I don't know. But yeah, they're really unlucky not to go up. And they go up, they lose in the playoff final, an incredible match to Charlton. They go up the next year. But around that time, they talk about some things that really date the book, I was going to say. First of all, is there a more dated word than ghetto blaster? I don't think. He talks about the ghetto blaster in training a lot because DJ Danny Dicchio, again, who rivals DJ Phil Neville. Yeah.
DJ Danny Dicchio and DJ Phil Neville.
They should team up. Imagine,
doing a remix of Elvis.
Yeah, they could play some of the dance tents at Glasto together. Wonders what happened.
Also, DJ Danny Dicchio X, DJ Phil Neville.
There's also a hell of a lot of references to the band Republica.
Oh my god, there are so many references to Republica. He's like, as we're waiting in the tunnel, I could hear the sound of Republica playing in my ears. Yeah, Republica. And you know it's just that one song.
But I was looking at the cover and I've decided that Kevin Phillips has got a very 90s face.
He does.
You don't see that face. He's got a bit of Michael Owen about him, a bit of Robbie Williams about him.
He does. He does. He looks like Michael Owen and Robbie Williams combined.
Or maybe like a noughties era. You know, he'd only use Nivea. No other skincare.
Hey, what's wrong with Nivea? First of all, right, you come on this podcast, you slag off Kevin Phillips. Now you slag off Nivea.
Now a quick word from our new sponsors, Nivea.
I'm just saying he's a one moisturizer kind of guy. He's no Beckham, you know?
That means he's loyal. That's a good thing.
If you showed me that picture at the that's on the front cover and said he used to be an A1, I would go, yep.
Exactly. He's got like a bit of...
I met one of A1 not long ago, actually.
Oh, really?
Which one?
It wasn't Ben. It wasn't Ben.
I'm not interested then.
Oh my God. What was his name? Mark. Mark, that was his name.
Oh, I don't remember him.
Yes.
Sorry, he's Mark, nice. From A1.
Very nice. He's coming on the show next week.
And he's flogging a lot of Nivea products, so watch out for that.
Also, reading this book, this is a strange flashback I had. I once spoke on the phone to Kevin Ball, the former Sunderland captain.
Oh, wow. What? That's cool.
Yeah, true story. My dad's friend was a football agent, and I was around their house one day, and he represented Kevin Ball, and he was on the phone to him, and I... being a cheeky 10-year-old or 9-year-old, I was like, can I talk to him? And he was fine. He scored that day, and the conversation was basically, I got really sheepish. I was like, hi, Kevin Ball. He was like, hello. I was like, I heard you scored today. Was it a good goal? And he went, yeah. Can you put me back on? I think he was actually very nice. I think he was very nice to me, I seem to remember. But talking about dated things, I don't think anything is dated as badly as the red and white ball, which Sunderland go to.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a great night with a dinner and disco. There was also a fun room with a bucking bronco, casino, and a running bungee jump, which the lads say, okay. And then the best moment of the evening was when the chairman, Bob Murray, got up and put on a highlights film of the season with Martin McCutcheon's perfect moment playing in the background.
Amazing. Amazing.
It is literally like they went, what can we put all of 2000 into this book?
If we ever get a budget for this podcast, can we reenact that as a party?
Oh my God, that's it. That's the Christmas party we get to do. Yeah. We could probably get Martin McCutcheon there in real life to do it.
Oh, yeah. Please.
On the bungee machine, running up and down, singing Perfect Moment. Talking of songs that maybe DJ Danny Dicchio would be interested in. Can I bring in a man who's celebrating his 30th birthday this week?
Woo!
Woo!
We all know Ken. We don't have to choose who he is anymore now, do we? Everyone knows who Ken is. He writes songs about footballers. This time he's got one for a former Portsmouth and briefly Spurs fullback. Nice to have a bit of Spurs on the show. To the tune of the Aretha Franklin classic. I'm doubting whether you're going to remember this player, but let's see. A lot rest on this. To the tune of RESPECT. PAMAROT. Secret weapon of Pompey. PAMAROT. Let's go, NOE. And then it just says, play up, Pompey, play up, Pompey, play up, Pompey, play up, Pompey, play up, Pompey. And that goes on for a long time. Noe Pamoro.
Noe Pamoro, yeah.
Remember him?
That's barely. Okay.
That was happy birthday, Ken.
Happy birthday, Ken.
there's a bit just throughout that's throughout the whole book where he has an ability to talk about what life and football has the like habit of doing.
Yes,
life has a habit of kicking you in the face when you least expect it. Football has a habit of slapping you in the stomach when you least expect it.
Did he say that? He says slapping you in the stomach.
Oh no, he doesn't. Oh, I screwed it up. Hang on. Ah, screw it. Sorry. Can I redo
it? I was
going
to say that's not a saying.
No. Life has a habit of slapping you in the face when you least expect it.
There
football
we go.
Has a, yeah. Football
I prefer has a habit of. Stomach.
I know. Me too. I'm so sorry. Football has a habit of kicking you in the stomach when you least expect it. Just when I was getting to my stride, I was stopped in my tracks. We all know this game can shoot you in the foot.
You should do the dramatic readings. Very dramatic, yeah.
There's a lot of, like furious anger about what football can do to you. It can shoot you in the face. It can slap you in the stomach. It can kick you in the balls.
Do you know what would never do that? Golf.
What? Sean Gota?
Yeah, golf would never do that.
Golf would never do that to you.
Golf is a loyal... partner. But I didn't get that anger at all through. I thought he seems like the nicest bloke in the world all the way through it. He seems lovely.
Well, it's not generally, even like anger.
Doesn't slag anyone off all the way through, which is impressive for a footballer's autobiography.
Yeah. He has a go at Andy Marriott like a few times, where he talks about like how he doesn't want to...
That's fine.
He doesn't want to share a room with Andy Marriott because he just eats and eats and eats all the time. And at another point, he talks about how one of the players always makes fun of Andy Marriott because he's really big. And Kevin says, in fairness, he did have the biggest arse in all of football.
There's a similar bit with the guy called Jerry Harrison. I don't remember at all. Who was a player. And they're pre-season training. Uh-huh. And everyone's making fun of him for being lazy and for like Jerry was blowing badly and they're all laughing at him and going, oh, you idiot. And he gets left behind from training because he's too lazy. And then he just goes, actually, it turned out he had hepatitis B and didn't really play much after that.
So weird. So weird.
Can I do my sad reading on that note? That's pretty sad.
Yeah, go for it.
But I'm realizing I'm making you cue a lot of music this week. Let's play some sad. Are we all in a sad mood for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really sad, Tash.
I was thinking about hepatitis B again.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, sad music. Once we'd stepped off, this is about this is when Kevin Phillips, I think, has his first ever England call up. He goes, we trained the following morning, and that was when Kevin announced the side. I would be partnering Alan Shearer, who came up to me and said, Kevin, you can come up and clean my boots afterwards. But I just turned round to him jokingly and said, Al, I'm in a position now where I can just tell you to F off. You might as well. Everyone else does.
Oh,
Alan. Alan Shearer's cry for help. You might as well. Everyone else tells me to F off all the time.
Yeah. It's such a moment of such clarity of sadness there from Alan
Shearer.
Yeah.
It
as
really
if he's
is.
A sort of like, I'm joking, but help me. Help me, no one listens to me. Please,
Kevin, Kevin. You're the new guy in camp. Yeah, please, take me away from this.
I need to get away.
Tash, did you enjoy the fact that he is a secret Emmerdale fan? I don't know why, but I thought because you live in Hebden Bridge, you might like that.
I did, actually. Yeah, I did, and I was also...
See, I was right.
The one bit that I was quite disappointed that was not in here, because I bet you two don't remember this, but do you remember the TV show Wags Boutique?
Vaguely. The name rings a bell.
So Kevin Phillips' wife, Julie, was in Wags Boutique, and basically it was two teams of wags of various levels managing rival fashion boutiques in London.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, and that was all going on. And he doesn't even mention it. I was so gutted. I was like, come on, he's going to mention, because hers was called Bose and they were really good. And he does not make a single mention of it.
He doesn't mention, I've just gone back in the index, he doesn't mention Wags Boutique, right? Not once.
He mentions Emmerdale at the same time as his wife was running this, you know.
Should we watch an episode of Wags Boutique next week on the show?
Please, yes.
For Tash.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great fun. But the Emmerdale thing is really funny. He says something
it is
like,
so good. What?
They're on a coach going somewhere to play up north, maybe Bradford, I think.
Yeah.
We approached the outskirts of town. I looked out the window and the place looked very familiar. Then I saw the Woolpack Pub. Oi, lads! So we're at Emmerdale, I shouted. But I wish I hadn't opened my mouth because I got slaughtered for owning up to being a big fan of the programme. Everyone else on the coach was expecting me to say EastEnders. Why? Why would they expect me to say that?
Bradford!
Yeah, imagine if Kevin Phillips had pointed out the window and gone, it's EastEnders! In Bradford. They'd have all gone, Kevin, are you okay?
I understand what he's trying to say in that he's meant to be going, EastEnders was like a more acceptable thing to like, but it makes no sense.
Emmerdale is the lowbrow one.
Yeah.
And which is unfair on Emmerdale.
The players will be like, oh, sorry. We don't watch Emmerdale here.
We only
not
watch EastEnders.
Yeah.
Jack, he wanted to mention all the headlines in the book. There's a lot of segments where he like has newspaper cutouts for no. They don't show the cutouts, but he puts in a headline.
He puts in the headlines, and it's weird because I think Kevin Phillips is obsessed with the media. Throughout the whole book, he talks about like what Sky are doing and like how important Sky are and what the papers
actually,
are saying about him.
In fairness, shows quite a lot of foresight on those things. He says things like how Sky will eventually mess up fixture kickoffs and how we just scrap the League Cup. And it's quite interesting, quite a lot of those things, actually. But that wasn't what he wanted to talk about.
Not at all. no, but he goes on like Soccer AM quite a lot, and he talks about his time on Soccer AM. He talks about when he was on Question of Sport very briefly, and he gives away a trade secret.
Which is
that apparently they have 20 minutes to answer questions on Question of Sport.
To answer one question.
A single question.
That is absurd, isn't it?
That's ridiculous.
We record these episodes over 26 hours as well, so we have we have half an hour to respond to everything everyone says. So,
but it just makes me think: if I went to a Question of Sport and like I was in the audience and I had to watch like Matthew Pinsent go, oh God, was it 97 and 98? Do you think they have like doors, like the doors are locked, and they say you cannot leave? I really want to go to a recording now. Sorry, that wasn't what I was
talking
about.
They go on for months. carry on.
They're all locked in. But the headlines, so he is like really into his headlines. And there are some headlines that just don't make any sense. These are all of the headlines that are in the book, basically, talking about him. One is he a waste of money? Who is Kevin Phillips? If you have any idea, can you please phone up and let us know? That's one headline. One single headline. Another one after a Sunderland game where they don't score. Striker required! Which just doesn't sound
not
like
a
news- thing.
That's not a newspaper's job either.
Yeah.
That's like a job sentence.
That's a personal, personal bad. And then the last one I found was, Phillips is back! And they all just sound like things that you would flash up in a film. Like instead of doing exposition, so there's like a spinning paper that would come around.
Yeah,
and like, Phillips is back. Who needs Kevin Phillips?
That's very true.
I also quite enjoyed the chapter headings as well. One of mine really kind of threw me because you know how I said that my book was water damaged. Well, there's a chapter, and I opened it and I was like, oh my God, this book's about to get really interesting because I thought it said gay days. But it was grey days, and I was so gutted when I read it. He's talking about the bloody weather for ages.
Wow. I mean, we once read a whole book by Gary Monk called Loud, Proud and Positive for some reason, assuming that at some point it comes out. So at least you only had one chapter letting you down. We had a whole book. It'd be a massive oversight not to mention how incredible his achievement was to win European Golden Shoe, to be the most prolific goal scorer in the whole of Europe, in all the big leagues in Europe. That's incredible.
It's mad.
He's got 30 goals in the Premier League.
About it as well.
In his first season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Vardy had a great season, but that was his second or third season. I think it was his second season in the Premier League when Leicester won the league. So yeah, it's insane.
I think it is insane. It's amazing and it's a great achievement. And Tash is right. He is like, it's not even that he's humble about it. It's almost like that it hasn't sunk in.
Yeah.
I guess the book's written just after it happened, but yeah.
I suppose that's what I mean, is that I feel like you sort of want him, this goes back to, you know, wait a little bit longer to write this book, because you want him to be able to like realize what a big deal it was, because he just sort of like the things he mentions midway through the book, being like, oh yeah, I broke Brian Clough's scoring record, oh yeah, I won the Golden Shoe, It's just casually thrown in because he's still a footballer, because he still thinks he's going to go on to do other things. And I think that that kind of gives the whole thing a slight disjointedness.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because that season where he scores 30 goals, like, is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it is concerned with, you know, like, Danny Dicchio's form and, like, the fact that a lot of players are injured. And I suppose you don't really get that sense of, like, wow, he's doing it. He's doing a thing no other English player has done since. He's incredible.
I reckon if he wrote it now, it would read totally different.
I would love to read
an updated Kevin Phillips book.
I genuinely really would like to read an updated Kevin Phillips book.
Maybe it'll be called Third Time Around, and it'll just be exactly the same book again, but with one chapter on the last 18 years.
Yeah. It just goes through all of them very, very quickly.
Yeah. Birmingham was good. The end. guys, can we give the book a rating out of 10?
I am going to give it a 6.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 7. I enjoyed it.
I'm going to give it I'm nowhere near you, James. I'm giving it a 5.
Oh,
but only because I think the stuff in it is really interesting, but it's not told in an interesting way, so I lost interest in it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I found it when I was reading his
achievements elsewhere, they're amazing, but in the book, they don't feel very amazing.
I do know what you mean, but I wholeheartedly disagree.
There's a sense of immediacy, which is really good, but there's also not enough perspective.
Yeah.
Sure.
So very well put.
As I was saying to Jack, reading all these books has meant that I've lost any ability to judge any sort of art. So from now on, 7s all round. Everything gets a 7. Just be safe.
I go to art exhibitions now and I expect James to turn up at the end and say, so did this art exhibition change you?
Guys, this week's quiz, you're named after fellow winners of the European Golden Shoe. There's some amazing names on there, actually. Okay. Really incredible. But two of the ones I'm going for, Tash, you're Luca Toni.
Yes.
The handsome Italian striker, and Jack, you're Georgi Slavkov, who banged home 31 goals for Botev Plovdiv of Bulgaria in 1981. So,
thank you.
Luca Toni, Georgi Slavkov. Number one, we've mentioned it already. What was the name of the fly on the wall series that followed Sunderland in the 90s?
Oh, God. What was it called?
Georgi Slavkov.
Yes.
It's called something weird like Happy Match Days or something.
It's not too far off.
happy fun day to go to a match times.
It is two words, and it is hasn't got the word happy in it or match days. No, it's wrong. Tash, sorry, Luca Toni.
No idea. Can't remember.
It was called Premier Passions.
Oh, that's quite a good name. Yeah.
It sounds like a dirty channel to me.
But starring only Premier League footballers.
Yeah.
For 50p a minute, you can have Eddie Howe talk dirty down the line to you.
That might be how they're making money during coronavirus. You know?
Yeah.
Smart idea. Question number two. What word is banned during the 98-99 season?
Oh, Georgi Slavkov. Ooh.
Yes.
Charlton.
That's correct, because they beat him in the playoff final. I thought that'd be hard to work in practice.
Yeah, and also, like, what if, you know, Bobby Charlton turned up at the stadium?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
Hi, Bobby.
Bobby.
Hey, Mr. C.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Mr. C?
Finally, what does Kevin get promised by the Sunderland chairman if he scores 30 goals in the season? A, a BMW. B, a house. Or C, an all-expenses-paid trip to Emmerdale Farm?
A. Whoa. Tony, look at Tony.
Tony, look at Tony.
Hey, Tony.
BMW
is the correct answer.
Yeah.
So that's a draw. But he gets a BMW, but he doesn't take it. He gives the equivalent money to Sunderland Children's Hospice and the Sunderland Heart Foundation. Great,
which is really nice.
Guy.
That's the end of the show. Thanks again, guys, for being on it. It's been great fun chatting about Kevin Phillips' book. If anyone has any thoughts on it, if you've read it or you want to read along, message us reviews. Follow us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram. Review the podcast, subscribe, follow us. Any last words?
Charlton.
How dare you? How dare you? This recording is over. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, and Natasha Daniels. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Kevin Firth for writing the book. But what are they all up to now? Well, Kevin played for basically every team in the Football League and then went on to enjoy a coaching career. Sadly, he never returned to his two loves, playing golf or working in Dixon's. Jody Craddock learned his lesson and to this day hasn't pulled a bar stool out from underneath anyone from Manchester. Good guy. Moordale Coaches sadly folded in 2016, RIP, and DJ Danny Dicchio went on to headline Creamfields and the Red and White Ball a record 10 years in a row. We'll be back next week with another episode from Behind Closed Doors. Stay safe. Bye-bye.